Seth Mincer, formerly worked at the San Diego Zoo, where he amassed an amazing collection of ficus. He specializes in ficus of Australia. In fact, he's going to prepare a publication on it. He's now working for the city of Portland, and he's going to be talking about Australian ficus with landscape potential.
Thanks, Don. So yeah, I'm going to talk about I'm going to go through a handful of species that might be of interest. Probably a lot of these species are species that a lot of people haven't seen. And they're all species that come from an area of northwestern Australia called the Kimberley, which is an area of extreme drought and extreme harsh condition. Drought and then for 6 months, and then 6 months of extreme wetness in the monsoons. So we'll run through these species real quick. I just want to show you how big Australia is, just to get an idea. It's enormous. It's actually bigger than the continental United States. So there's only 22 million people in the whole country, so there's a lot of big, open, empty land and a lot of undiscovered species of plants and insects that are still people are still discovering to this day. A quick rundown of the climates. Everyone thinks that Australia is really a big red country and all the outback. And the truth is, the majority of it is. The eastern states, it's subtropical with a lot of rainfall. And western, southwest Australia is Mediterranean, much like Southern California. The area that I'm going to show you is in this area right here where the Kimberley is. And it is tropical monsoon, 6 months of rain, 6 months of complete dry. So a lot of these species are really tough and I think would be pretty good for the landscape industry, specifically for Southern California where there's a lot of drought and fire. So here's a view of the Kimberleys, a lot of rocky land. It's some of the oldest land on Earth. Very desolate too. A lot of sandstone and limestone rocks. And a lot of times where we find these figs are on areas of the rocks where fire has not reached. So they've evolved to areas where the fire has not got them. And just to give you an example, these are some Livistona palms. I put some palms in here because I know Don's a palm guy. There's the Livistona Victoria. You can see these palms are as tall as the coconut palms you'll see out here. Pretty amazing area with a lot of beauty. The most famous, one of the most famous plants is the baobab. Most people think of the baobabs as being African or Malagasy, but there actually is a species of baobab that grows in Australia. So Australia used to be tropical, this whole area, but it's dried out. And what you can find is a lot of these deep canyons and ravines are areas where rainforest still exists. And it's a lot of a place where we do find a lot of the tropical species of figs. And then some of the springs, this is the hot springs where it's Livistona forest. And going back again to the map just so you can get better acquainted. Again, we're going up in this area. And actually, Darwin, Australia is at the very tip. It's only about a couple hundred miles from Timor, Indonesia, to give you an idea of how far north that is. And to give you an idea of how big, this is Western Australia. I think you can fit Texas in there 2.5 times. It's enormous. So the first species is Ficus coronalata. This is a species from the outback. They call it the peach-leafed fig, or to me it looks like an oleander. And again, this is about as big as it would get, maybe 10 to 11 meters tall. Beautiful foliage. And it gets the name coronaluta because of the crown that's produced on the ostiole. Can see. And here is the range. It goes all the way into the Northern Territories, almost into Queensland there, on the Gulf of Carpentaria to the right. And I think that this species would be a good one for Southern California because of the because it looks a lot like the oleanders, and again, it'll survive tremendous amounts of time with no rain at all.
Even placed on the dry side of
Yeah, definitely. So a lot of times you will see them growing on riparian areas like you see here. This is the Adelaide River. And incredibly, there's also a species of bamboo that grows amongst these figs. And I should also point out that when I was at the San Diego Zoo, I was there over a decade, that's how I know Dawn. I collected a lot of these species, grew a lot of them in San Diego. A lot of them are successfully growing there and doing really well. To give you an idea of San Diego, the last 4 or 5 years, averaged about 4 inches of rain. This last winter, it got a lot. But they, so far, they seem to take the cool winters and the mild summer. So you don't need the extremes like you would see in the Kimberley. Again, on the riverbanks. This is one that I think has tremendous value for Southern California because of the fire resistance. A lot of these figs are actually fire resistant. They can survive the fires that go through the outback and then still produce the next year. And so for Southern California, because of the fire danger, I think a lot of these would be successful. And here's how you see it mostly in the wild underneath as a substory plant. We've grown these successfully in San Diego, and with more water, they become more lush. And so for outside of property boundaries, it could do really well. And it has a beautiful foliage. But the impressive part is the bark on these. And this is a bark you don't see much on figs. You mostly see the real smooth bark. But these are built for fire. So for Southern California or other areas that are fire-prone, they can survive the fire and then just resprout and grow again. Almost look like an oak tree. And there is two subspecies. One is very pubescent, this cumulata, and then Indicora does not have pubescence on it. So here's one in a cultivated area that gets irrigation in Darwin, and you can see how lush it gets. And so with some pruning, it would make a good hedge, I believe. And beautiful foliage, almost looks like a pineapple guava foliage to me. And this is the range. It goes all the way into the tip of Cape York in Queensland, so it's a pretty tremendous range. A lot of different climate zones in there, from subtropical or from tropical rainforest. You guys hear that? Is that me? Okay. So this is one, the Superbalua, that I think is a good eucalyptus substitute for Southern California again. Really an incredible tree that grows. A lot of these are rock figs that all grow outside the rocks. Superbalua is a rock fig. And again, the foliage on them is pretty spectacular. It reminds me a lot of some of the gum trees you would see in Southern California region. Growing a lot on the sandstone cliffs. So a lot of times when you're fig hunting, like if you're in the tropics, you're looking in paddocks where people keep animals. But in the Kimberley, you're looking at all the rock outcroppings. So, such as that one that's just hanging to life up there. This is above Eddy Falls in the Northern Territory. The foliage, to me, is what's the most striking of this fig. And I'm pretty sure it's in the same subgenus as the religiosa and others that have a similar look. Against the figs, and then the green ants, which you want to avoid. So you can see some of the, they pretty much only grow in the sandstone outcroppings, and this is the distribution of them. So this is one species that is, if you were to do a Google search, I don't think any images of them would even show up. It's that rare and that hard to get to, Podocarpifolia. It grows in grasslands. Again, it's built for fire. It can take just burning through. It'll come back the next year. And I wanted to show you the map here of where it will be grown. It will be grown in the western parts of the Kimberley. Extremely hard to get to. It took me 2 years to get to this species of fig. And you have to drive basically for about 3 days through this palm forest, which is apparently the largest palm forest in the world, Livistona estonii, the Mitchell Plateau palm. And then you have to cross the Prince Edward River. The first year that I went there, the river was flowing too high, so we couldn't get to it, even though we had driven for 2.5 days to get there. The next year, the river was lower, and we were able to drive through to get it. I always think that you know, the journey is the adventure, and it makes it worth the memories. And this is the Mitchell Falls, which is the famous falls in that area. It's seven pools that just cascade down. When I tell Australians that I've been up to the Mitchell Falls, majority of them say that they've never been there, so pretty privileged to have gotten up there. And then the foliage, just like a Podocarpus, that's how it gets the name. Very unusual fig. And you can see, again, it has that cork-like bark, like an oak tree, and it's built for fire. Some more of the foliage. So a lot of these figs that are really, really tough and really resilient are in kind of the sandpaper fig group. So all these figs are very, very rough when you touch them. And Aboriginals used a lot of these figs for a sandpaper, actually, for a lot of their didgeridoos, arrows and swords and other such things. Ficus platypoda. There's a lot of confusion. A lot of botanic gardens have platypoda listed in their collection, but it's actually not a platypoda. Platypoda has a small little range, and you can only find them, again, in the Kimberleys, and usually on the tops of these massive sandstone rocks. Beautiful, beautiful tree. We've trialed these in San Diego as well, and shows a lot of promise. And it's a rock fig. With a very pubescent fig, zirconium, and leaves. Here's a baby one. And you can see the range there. So if you go to a botanic garden and see stuff that's labeled as platypoda, it's a good chance that it's not a platypoda. It's probably a brachypoda, which is a common mistake. So this is one that I put in here. It also grows in the tropics. So you see it more in the tropical northeast Queensland. Ficus congestion. You always see it at the edge of a forest. And this one has tremendous potential just because of the foliage. And this is not a really rare one. I've seen this in botanic gardens here in Hawaii and other places. It does also extend into the Kimberleys and into northwest Australia. But it only gets about 9 meters tall. And a beautiful, beautiful zirconia. And sometimes they'll do geocarpic fruitings in areas where there's a lot of birds. Native birds. So what the figs do is they emerge underneath the base of the tree on branchlets, and then they're there for the birds to come and get. And here's some falls, some pictures next to the Mila Mila Falls and the Atherton Tablelands. And there's the range. You can see it goes all the way down northeast Queensland, probably past Townsville. But then it also has a couple populations in the Northern Territories, and then down into the Kimberleys too. And then this one, this is probably my favorite ficus, Ficus lilliputiana. They could possibly be the world's smallest fig. I've never seen a bigger one. It grows only in the small little area next to the town of Kununurra in Western Australia. And it'll get to be about a meter by possibly a half a meter tall. And it's pretty cool to see these. There's the range of it. It's pretty cool to see these in the wild because they're only on these rocky outcroppings. And you'll actually see rock wallabies eating the figs up there and spreading them. Yeah.
1 minute.
1 minute, okay. There's a picture of me collecting seed. So this one I think has tremendous potential for the bonsai world. And a great name. This has only been described for about 15 years. And as a neat thing, with always looking for rock figs in the outback, you tend to come across a lot of Aboriginal art, which is really, really neat. Here's a couple, just a couple. You see a lot of it. And the neat thing about Aboriginal art is they have kind of guides which tell you how old the art is based on the characters that they drew.